This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Monday? Victory Monday. Woohoo! Crimson Tide won. We're live here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hanging out in the Derek Daniel State Farm Insurance offices. You guys can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. We're live on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Subscribe, rate, and review the program. We appreciate everybody who's done that. We're going to have a lot of fun today breaking down Alabama's 73-0 victory. That's one way for Kalen DeBoer and them boys to bounce back and respond. We'll talk about it today. Who looked good? Who looked bad? What does it matter? Does it matter at all? Are you excited about the season again? Are you off of the fire Kalen DeBoer train? All that and more. We'll basically break down the weekend and the results. Is it time to start Keelan Russell? Austin Mack has the strongest arm you've ever seen in your life. Ty Simpson was perfect. 17 of 17. So really, just a lot to get into. Kevin Riley, RB1, maybe. Lotsia Brooks, wide receiver 1. No, nobody's taking Jeremy Bernard's place. But no, we've got a lot to get into with the game. And we're going to do that with our friend Theo Fernandez. You can find Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _ on the Twitter machine. I hope I put both underscores on the ad.
You did.
All right. Good. Theo, I know it wasn't a great day for you. Saturday was great, but Sunday maybe not so much. Good morning. How you feeling?
I'm doing great. We're not even going to talk about Sunday right now because Saturday, that is all that really matters here on the Joe Gaither Show right now, and I'm sure we have a ton to talk about there. I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, no Giants fans actually listen to this program, so every time I let you talk Giants, we're just doing it for you.
There's got to be someone out there. I know that there's one singular Giants fan out there listening right now.
If you are that Giants fan, you can let us know at JoeGaither6 at Theo Fernandez by calling us on the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll save the Giants chatter towards the end. I'll give you 3 minutes to cry about it. But we should spend most of our time talking about Kansas and Missouri, right?
Absolutely. I mean, border war, right?
It was incredible. Oh, Jalen Daniels. I feel so bad. On Friday with the picks, I said, oh, Kansas +6 is the pick I feel best about. And it was going fine until it wasn't. They ended up going for it on a fourth down or something, and Kansas scored to take the lead from 4-10 or 3-10. And from there, they couldn't get it back.
That was a variant. I'm honestly shocked that you didn't go Billy Napier there. You didn't go USF Florida as the game to tease, because that was something. We were watching that in the press box, and that was interesting.
Well, I might have gone there first, but every time I bring up South Florida, I get people in my mentions. Why are you bringing up bad memories? They're like, are you always a buzzkill? Because I said, oh, don't forget, South Florida is on the Alabama 2026 football schedule. Somebody, are you always a buzzkill? Yes, I am.
Well, good thing we didn't play him this year, huh? We've clearly seen what's going to happen.
That's a great. Hey, Alex Gold is just going to the tops of everybody's wish list.
Yeah, and we won't have to face him now, so works out for Bama.
Right. Alabama will face a rebuilding South Florida team next season here in Bryant-Denny Stadium. So, yeah, South Florida pulling off a huge upset. Stood out to us. I watched Iowa-Iowa State, and then I watched some of the Border War before I got into Bryant-Denny Stadium. I didn't pay much attention to Oklahoma-Michigan just because we were working on our game. And then, of course, we were all kind of peeking in and out of that South Florida-Florida game. Ole Miss-Kentucky, a little closer than everybody was anticipating. I thought Ole Miss might have run away with it. You see Lane Kiffin at the end of the night basically apologizing for not covering.
Yeah, I didn't get the whole thing there, but I saw that was a thing.
Yeah, he basically apologized. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't. I think it was -9. Didn't cover. Let our foot off the gas there at the end.
He Good teams win, great teams cover.
There we go. So Theo, let's dive into our yes. game. Alabama beats ULM 73-0. Was that your first time in the press box?
No, I've had a couple experiences.
WVUA, right?
I've had VUA, Crimson White, but first time with Bama Central, if we're not counting A-Day, which I don't think we are.
Yeah, we should. Why not? A-Day is real. We treat it like it's real at least.
We counted all of Austin Mack's completions, and A-Day was. That was an interesting experience, but this is my first real game for Bama Central, and I think they ended up getting a pretty fun one, I'd say.
Yeah, what do you think about it? 73-0. The big question is, what does it mean? That's the big theme for the entire show. What does it mean? We'll play our voicemails here in just a minute. I know we have one that came in before the game and one that came in after the game, so we'll play Jumbo and Dax's voicemail here in just a minute. But like the big question here, Theo, is what does it mean? Does it mean anything? Was ULM that bad? Did Alabama answer and respond, and all the questions are erased and behind us now? What does it all mean, Alabama's 73-0 victory over ULM?
Yeah, Joe, I've been wrestling with this question kind of all day yesterday as I just sat and thought about the game. And I want to go back to Hunter Brantley's voicemail from last week, where it all revolved around the question, what is the standard? This team played up to the Alabama standard that we know under Nick Saban. That was a performance where the team did everything you could have possibly wanted them to. They are fighting to get the ball back, up 66 points with 2.5 minutes left. I mean, if you wanted to see vintage, joyless murder ball, Nick Saban football, you got it on Saturday. I'm still struggling to put any real stock into like evaluating the actual players as far as what they did against this level of competition. I think that's something where we have to really tread carefully on getting too excited about how certain guys played. But what I will say is that I feel great about the level of intensity that these guys brought, and that, you know, if this is really something that the players are going to carry over into the rest of the season, that's all that matters about this game in my book.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is true. It's hard to refute that. The players did look like they played hard, and they looked like they were plugged back in this week. The last time Alabama scored 70 or more points in a game, did you see this, Theo?
Yeah.
1973 with a 77-6 victory over Virginia Tech. So not even any Nick Saban teams got to 70 or more. So at least Kalen DeBoer, that's about as good a response as you can ask for. Now, he did acknowledge it in postgame that all we can do is play this team, is play this week, is play this game. We can't do any more than that. But I'm just in a cautionary place for what it means, because I think ULM is that bad.
Yes.
I think ULM is pretty horrible, to be honest with you.
There is no FBS school in the nation that has gone longer than ULM has without making a bowl game. ULM has not made a bowl game since 2012. This is a very bad program. It's a team that has won 5 games just once this decade. It's a team that even last year, relative up year at 5-7, and they lost a ton of guys to the portal. Like, this is a very bad, this is about as bad as it gets for FBS football.
Right. So, Theo, take you back to about a week and a half ago. What was this game's, what was it even for? Did we waste our time on Saturday night while watching Alabama play a high school team?
I mean,
ULM, they got their check and got out of there. They didn't even talk to you in post game.
Yeah, seriously. The coach just ran away without talking to me. I was very excited to ask him about what he thought of the 73-0 loss, but no, I mean, this is a bye game, man. I just feel like coming off a loss like we had against FSU, this is about as necessary a bye game as you're ever going to see on the schedule. Like, you know, the
Bama needed to get right.
Yes, we needed it. And this is why you dish out the $500,000 check. And I would make the argument that it makes more sense to have the bye game week 1 before you go into the crazy road environment in Tallahassee. That's a different debate, but no, I would say that there are some times where, okay, last year, you know, week one, bye game, didn't mean a ton in the grand scheme of things. This year, coming off a loss, I think it's massive as far as course correction and getting the season right. I think you can't understate this game's importance.
Well, I do think it's important to have a good performance under your belt, so I agree with you there. But I just don't know if Alabama really embraced and learned. Basically, you're going to have to see it week to week to week. You're going to have to see it week in and week out now from this point. Since the Florida State seat was the season opening performance, and it was so bad and really so apathetic, from here on out, the next 10 performances are all subject to, well, what if they drop an egg? What if they lay an egg? And so even if you played the Eagles this past week, or if it didn't matter if you played ULM or the Eagles, like, your strong performance is always going to be, well, maybe good job this week, but next week is coming. We'll see if they do it next week. We'll see if they do it next week. We'll see if they do it next week, because that first week was so bad that, you know, that somewhere in the fabric of the DNA that they could come out and lay an egg. I'm just hesitant to really, all is right in the world. Everything is good. I mean, yeah, the sun came up just like it came up last week when Alabama lost. So, like, yes, all is right in the world. But I'm hesitant to sit here and say, yeah, all the problems the football program faced are fixed because they wrecked shop against ULM.
Yeah, and I think week-to-week basis is the perfect way to put it, because in the grand scheme of things, we know nothing about this football team until they go into Athens. That's the way I see it.
Well, we know something about this team. We know this team struggles when a team fights back. And here's my big cautionary thing from this past weekend is, and we'll talk about individuals here in a little bit, but collectively as a whole, you knew that ULM couldn't stand up to you. You didn't know that going into the Florida State game. Maybe you thought it. Maybe you thought this 2-2-10 football team can't stand up to us. We're going to go down 16 play drive and bully them. Oh, they hit us right back in the face. Oh, Theo, were you a bully in middle school or high school or elementary school, or you were a nice guy? I bet.
I was never much of a bully, personally.
Right. I spent a couple years as a bully just because of not being a cool guy. And not knowing that being nice was better. And it's a whole lot easier to pick on teams that are smaller than you. It's a whole lot easier to go 73-0 and to play hard when you know the opposition is not going to challenge you. And so last week when Florida State bounces better, you know, bites back or barks back, whatever terminology you want to use, Alabama basically cowered away after that. Alabama became the absorber. I think that was Cole Kubler's term, but basically started to absorb the blows and instead of deliver the blows. Well, you know, ULM, you might get one good hit, and they did. Their punter got one good hit. They closed.
That was a great hit for a punter, by the way. That was awesome.
The punter closed on Cole Adams, but other than that, ULM was just on the field with Alabama. They weren't really playing with Alabama. They had one good play down the sidelines. I wanted them to get that reception down the sidelines, but just for the drama's sake, because LT and James Smith and everybody missed another sack. But you know that ULM is not going to challenge you. So, of course, we're going to go hard, because I feel no threat here. I'm not in my brain. You know, the Coach Saban word, maybe they're playing with anxiety. Like, you feel no anxiety because you know, just like, I'm sorry, when you thumb wrestle with your girlfriend and you don't take it seriously, but you whip her tail anyways, like, yeah, it looked good because, you know, dainty little girlfriend. And it's not Theo and I arm wrestling and he's been exercising and I haven't. I'm cautionary for this weekend's performance because I wonder about the mental side. Is Alabama the big bully to where if you just punch them in the nose back, they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, sir, I shouldn't have been, you know. Or is Alabama a real warrior to where doesn't matter, down in, down out, this is the standard. Or they, did they see food? You know, the lion only goes after the weakest gazelle. And of course, yeah, the lion looks great when he takes down the slowest member of the pack. And, oh, wow, how ferocious. Go do that with somebody your own size lion. That's where I'm a little cautionary. I may not be landing the point home very well, Theo, and you can tell me if I am or not. But, like, I feel like, oh, good, you beat up on, someone with special needs. You're not a real fighter.
No, I absolutely get where you're coming from, and I think I do agree with a lot of your point. The one thing that I kind of think needs to be said is that, or I guess the reminder that I would give people is that a week one team is an incomplete product.
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost like I'm in a bit of a spot where I don't want to overreact by any means to what we saw this Saturday. I also wonder if maybe we, in hindsight, we overreacted a little last Saturday.
Oh, you definitely did.
Because at the end of the day, you get this game, you get this ULM game, you get an even higher level game next week that still is a game you should have absolutely no problem winning. You get a bye week. That's a lot of time for your team to mesh, develop, grow, for leaders to emerge, for just so much to happen before you go into this huge test. And we've had this discussion over the summer. I think most of us thought Alabama would be 3-0 heading into that Georgia game. But it's like at the same time, you're still in a similar spot. You're still in full control of your season, obviously, with this 12-team playoff. And I just think that I feel a lot more optimistic about the outlook on Alabama football right now than I did a week ago. But I also know that none of it means anything until we actually see the product on the field at Athens because of what you were saying earlier, Joe. So that's how I'd kind of tie things together.
I mean, it's nice to know that the fighter has a nice right hook, but you knocked out someone with special needs. Does it really mean much the next time that you can fight, that you're going to be in a fight with somebody who can also knock you out?
Did you see Georgia's performance against Austin Peay? I mean, just saying, like, not everyone is able to produce this kind of incredible offensive output.
Oh yeah, I mean, hasn't happened since 1973. Longer than I've been alive.
Like,
I know, man, you think I'm old as hell. Yeah. So longer than that, Theo.
Longer than that. Like, I mean, this is impressive no matter how you sliced it, doing it against a team, doing it against any team. Like, Georgia's or FSU scored 77, I believe, against their FCS opponent. Meanwhile, Georgia scored, what, 35, 28?
I think it was 28-6, yeah, is what I, wasn't it?
28-6 sounds about right.
But they had a huge weather delay, and I think that Kirby and them were basically taking things, keeping things as vanilla as possible. So I wasn't really that. I didn't take a whole lot from it because I thought Georgia was basically sandbagging. Yeah, 28-6 against Austin Peay.
And yeah, I don't want to look into too much against results in cupcake games. But I just still think that this is a great thing for team culture, for players, for Kalen DeBoer himself. I mean, I feel good about it in those regards.
All right, let's go to our voicemail line. You can call us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. I believe Jumbo's on the voicemail line first, and his call came Friday afternoon, so it was still before the game, and then Dax has reacted to the ballgame.
Yeah, this is Jumbo. I know you guys all know me, but I got some stuff to say, and it's not going to be pretty. First of all, Alabama stuck their joint up against Florida State. All they had to do was watch Auburn. And Central Florida's offenses are a mile on, and they would have had it figured out. Now, look, I got 3 degrees. I don't make $8 million a year, but I could have figured that out. So that shows you how stupid our staff is. The dynasty is over. Alabama will lose at least 5 games this year, maybe a little less. I'll say 4 to 5. Y'all can get mad. You can do whatever you want to. I don't care. But we're not the same football program we used to be, and this coaching staff is not going to put us where we need to be. The players are not ready mentally, and that's on them. So I really don't have a lot of faith in this program anymore, and I wouldn't be surprised if Monroe plays them tough tomorrow. But we got losses coming, and I'm telling you right now, Georgia's going to kill us. Tennessee's going to beat us. LSU's going to beat us. Auburn's going to beat us. In Oklahoma, in Vanderbilt, may get lucky and beat us again. But we don't have Milroe to throw a game for Oklahoma or Vandy, so we'll see. But I'm predicting 7-5, 8-4. But, y'all, it's over. We'll no longer have those years for quite a while, so you might as well get used to it. Because, like I said, the dynasty's gone. These players are not bought in like they need to be, and that's on the player. It's all about money now. That's all they want is money. If that's all they want, then I don't care to watch college football anymore. Simple as that. Take your crimson-colored glass of salt, people, and wake up. Our football program will never be the same again.
What is up, guys? It is Dax. Morning after the game. Fortunately, I got to go to this one. I got to see them boys put up 73 points for the first time since 1973 in person. And I can say the switch has been flipped. So that players only meeting, there was probably a lot of come to Jesus moments going on between them players, I tell you what. Ty Simpson was dialed, 17 for 17 for 226, 3 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown. Austin Mack was 8 for 10 for 80 something yards and 2 touchdowns, and then Keylon Russell, he is as advertised. My lord, dude, just like 4 for 5, 4 for 6, 65 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm going to be honest, I think the loudest the stadium was all night was when Keylon Russell threw that touchdown pass to the walk-on MJ Turgwin. When I was on Turgwin on the field, I looked at my dad, who is that? He's like, I have no idea. And then he threw it to him on a frozen rope. Like, that ball that Keylon put in MJ Turgwin's hands was like, dude, oh, he couldn't have fit that ball any better in that well. It was like just straight line. Oh, Keylon. And then AK Deer, dude. Like, we got to saw the future tonight. Last night. We got to see the future last night. There we go. I'm tired. I did a lot of screaming. That was a great game. And the defense, one thing, we had 0 sacks. We had no sacks. Then again, it's kind of hard to sack when they only throw, like, 15 times a game. But, positive note, I think everybody on the defensive roster got a tackle. Like, literally everyone. We got to see everybody. And then Drake Patrick with a targeting call that, I mean, it kind of was targeting. It was, but whole. I said I wanted to see some bone crushing hits, and Drake Patrick gave me one in garbage time. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see right there. I love that effort, Bubba. Yes, sir. Thank you, Dre. Living up to your name. That game was great. I don't care if it was against ULM. We absolutely murdered them, and that's all I've been wanting to see from this team for 2 years now, is to just go out and whack somebody up. Oh, yeah. Woo! Thank you. And I can't wait for Keylon and AK in the backfield in 2 years. Like, that's going to be great. But, well, you know what? On to Wisconsin. We're going to do the same thing to them. Go Tide, boys. I love y'all. I love this team, and I love all the viewers listening right now. Roll Tide.
Two very differing tones on that on those voicemails, Joe.
Well, I think Jumbo called before the game even started. What you think? Which area you want to go to? You want to go to Jumbo Dynasty Dead, or you want to go to It's Over People, or do you want to go to Dax basically saying wax their tail?
Yeah, I want to stick on Dax's voicemail for now, and The very first thing that I think I want to hit on that, the no sacks.
Oh.
Because that, I'd say there are two things that jumped out at me in the negatives, on the negative side in that game. Number one, what are we doing, Parker Brailsford? That's a lot of times the laundry is being thrown on the field because of you. Number two, the no sacks. Keon Sabb's the only one on the roster with a sack right now. Joe, what do you chalk this up to?
I chalk it up to not having a real killer on the edge and not having, like, the defensive linemen are fine. They're not standout defensive linemen right now. We'll say that. I mean, James Smith got a couple tackles for loss. He got three tackles for loss on Saturday. But he's the only one that right now looks like a one-on-one winner, and even that's not consistent. Again, I struggle to take a ton from the line play except negative on Saturday, because I think ULM is that poor up front. And so, of course, James Smith, you need to be beating a less-than-quality offensive lineman and getting yourself three tackles for a loss. But LT Overton, you just play so high, man. You just play so high. You get past your offensive lineman or whoever's blocking you, tight end or running back, whoever's blocking you. You get past them, and you're coming through so high. So all it takes is the quarterback to make a little shimmy, and you're not playing low enough to where you can change directions quick enough, and you're getting shimmied out. Like, I really do wish that the ULM quarterback would have completed that ball down the sidelines, and it was just basically a foot in bounds, just for the point of, hey, you got burned again. You had a 7-yard sack that would have turned it into fourth and like 12, fourth and 15, yeah, something like that. But you got the incompletion, so yes, fourth down came anyways. But really, if that guy's foot is in bounds just a half second earlier, or stays on the ground for another quarter of a second or so because he was trying to secure the football, that turns into from a negative 7 into a plus 35 or so. Yeah, which is like, that's a game-changing play. You have to be better on the defensive line. You have to. And yeah, they didn't rush for very many yards, so like you felt good about that. They rushed for 93 yards on the ground. They passed for 55 yards. Like, this was an inept offense that you're playing. So you should be really wrecking shop. I think you ended up with 12 tackles for loss from the Alabama side. So good on you for that. Yeah, 12 right there, with three coming from James Smith. But no sacks again. And yeah, they only pass, as you said, they only passed the ball, what, 10 times, 15 times? Let's see, away. Come on, baby. Oh, everything slowed down. Oh, yeah, away. Armenta, 14, and then Graves with 4. So 18 total passes. Okay, I understand that, but somebody's got to get back there and get home. I asked LT about, you know, another almost sack, and he just got to finish. And you're right. He's like, buddy, drive me crazy.
I agree. And you know, you will get burned a lot on against any offense that can actually function and move the football against you. And I feel like there were also just a lot of plays where you couldn't wrap the running back up in the backfield, goes from a 2-yard loss to a 2-yard gain. You know, he's able to get out, fight for just a tiny bit against Georgia. That's can keep a drive alive. That can turn a drive from, oh, they're punting the ball away, to next thing you know, a few series later, they're in the end zone. Cannot afford to, you know, fail to bring guys down. And one of the things that, like, yeah, as the game went on, I thought that we had a lot of, defender. It's a hand on the guy, and he's swarmed. That's what you want to see, but like we've said, it really means nothing against ULM. Can you do it against Georgia, where Zachariah Branch is fighting his way out, and, you know, he breaks free, and he could be gone for another 40 yards? Can you bring him down? That's something we just won't know until we see it.
All right, what was number two? You said two things stood out to you from a negative. One, no sacks. Two, was it tackling the other part? Or?
Yeah, I was. That was the only negative as far as Dax's voicemail I wanted to hit. The other big negative from the game, though, for me was getting touchdowns called back by penalties. Parker Brailsford is holding guys, false starts, high snap in there. I was a little concerned on that front.
Yeah, false start on Brailsford. You have pass interference on Bernard. You have holding on Brailsford.
Yep.
And you have holding on, on Jackson Lloyd. And then defensively, you had the targeting on Drager Patrick. So there's your five penalties for Alabama. Still not better in the penalty department, but still not great. I don't really care about the targeting penalty.
I don't either.
I don't much care about these holding penalties or this pass. I mean, the pass interference a little.
I don't care about the PI from Bernard. I mean,
he ran right through the DB.
Yeah. I remember I see the touchdown. I see the PI, and I'm waiting to see, is this a bad call? And no, Bernard just goes right at him.
Well, all right. So I agree with those concerns. If you guys are watching the game back again, just watch how just honestly smoothly the offense goes down the field. I think that tells you everything about how poor ULM is. Yes. Not that Alabama's offense didn't look better. They did. But the resistance that ULM was offering is not indicative. It is not in the same realm as the resistance you're going to be finding in the SEC here. Or even this week with Wisconsin. That's closer to Eastern Illinois resistance. And we've known that these are good players. All right. So let's talk about the quarterback play.
Yes.
Because lots of work was made by Simpson, Mac and Russell. So Ty goes 17 of 17. He goes 17 of 17. Let's see where go back to my stats here. So for 226 and three touchdowns, he ran the ball for Simpson. He ran the ball
just two times.
Two times for 3 yards and a touchdown. I guess a couple of those touchdowns were the ones that were called back, right?
Yes.
So he ended up with four total touchdowns. Ended up with 229 total yards from scrimmage on really 19 plays or so. Ty Simpson, he's back. Perfect. It's ready to go. National championship, Heisman Trophy.
He was objectively impressive in that performance.
Yes.
He was. I mean, 17 of 17 is...
It's a single game record, right?
It's a single game record, yeah. And I'm not sure exactly how the stat works, but the way I understand it, if he completes his first three passes against Wisconsin, he'll have the overall record.
Yep, for consecutive completions.
Yeah, because that would just carry over. He was good. He had command of the offense, good balls, just overall solid QB play. Look who he was doing it against. We've said it before. We'll say it again. It's hard to put much into.
Yeah,
he's facing.
He threw 17. Only one pass was contested, and it was the third down to Latia Brooks. Right? Was there another contested catch?
Not that I can think of.
Which, I mean, good quarterback play, finding the wide-open guys.
There were a lot
of wide-open guys, but at least you found them, and the ball didn't hit the ground. You put it in their catch radius, and you made things happen.
You weren't really thrown behind guys like, you know, we saw some throws against FSU.
That's true. That's true. Give you about an A-. Yeah, give you about a 90, or give you almost an A, give you a 94, 93.
I'll go an A simply because there's nothing that I can see to dock him any points for.
Okay, that's fair. I mean,
you know,
100?
Yeah, okay, so like an A+, you'd have to do something really special, but I think an A is a fair grade here.
Maybe if Jeremy Bernard doesn't run through that defensive back, he gets an A+ because he did escape two different times on that play and then launched it to Bernard for that touchdown. That would have been a wild play that we put on our highlight reel.
Yeah, I mean, look, he led a touchdown drive every time he was in the game. Ty Simpson, and then
it was like five plays for like three or four, five drives in a row. It's five plays, five plays, five yeah. plays, five plays.
Four touchdowns and 21 total plays is pretty insane to start the game for Alabama. There's nothing that you can knock on Ty Simpson's
so 100
at all. Yeah, I guess it's got to be 100. Literally 100% completion. I don't know. I don't know where you take off any points here.
You can't take off any points, but it feels like it feels wrong to say 100.
It does. I think you got it. I'm going A.
All right, there we go. All right, so we moved on. You saw Austin Mack and Coach. What you make of Coach DeBoer in a post game, basically insinuating that there's still a quarterback competition kind of underlying, just because, and maybe he didn't mean to. Maybe you know, he's not the greatest public speaker. Maybe it was just words that he stumbled into. But he was talking about competition on the team. He was talking about Austin Mack's reps, and they told all the quarterbacks that they were going to get Austin Mack some reps, especially in the first half before, you know, that end of half drive that Ty Simpson had. And then Austin Mack basically operated the entire third quarter. Do you think that was just kind of a word salad that slipped out of coach's mouth, or do you think there's really a quarterback competition going on? What did you make of Austin Mack's play, all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to this quote on Inlock. I used it for the article I wrote post-game, and I think it's a little bit of word salad. I don't really understand fully what DeBoer was trying to get at, but he did say that he talked to the quarterbacks last Monday, said that they wanted to get Austin in with the first team at some point. Said it didn't really matter if they did it this week or next or when it happened, but he said there's a lot of competition going on at all spots. But then he also reinforced just how good Ty was in practice down the stretch of the week. And I don't think there's any kind of QB competition going on. I don't even really think there was much of a QB competition heading into this ULM game. So I'm not really sure what we were doing. Maybe he was just trying to light a fire under everyone. He did talk about how it brought out a new level of competitiveness in all the guys. So that's kind of where I'd lean on it. As far as Austin Mack's actual on-field performance, I thought it was good. I wasn't blown away.
He's got a cannon, man.
Yeah, he's got a very strong arm. But, you know, we saw the overthrow to Brooks. We saw, you know, Cole Adams having to grab a screen on third down at his ankles.
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
Yes. I mean, that arm strength is absurd. And the accuracy, I mean, that you got a lot of time to work on it before you've got to be a QB for the Crimson Tide. But I don't feel great about Austin Mack if he were to have to come in and be the quarterback for the Crimson Tide this season.
No, I don't feel great about that, but I do see, like, his arm strength is elite, is insane.
Yes.
He had some accuracy issues for sure on Saturday, but his decision-making was good. It was good. It was just, hey, I'm a little bit off on my passes here because I'm throwing it 2 million miles an hour. He had Kevin Riley up the rail on the far sideline from us. That if he had thrown that out in front of him, Riley would probably be walking into the end zone. Instead, it ended up being behind him. Defender was able to kind of catch up as he adjusted to the pass. I think that Austin Mack has a lot of tools, and you see a lot of the reasons why Mason stayed in the Austin Mack camp for a long, long time, because the arm talent is really, really evident, but just needs a little more time to marinate.
Yeah, and I incredibly talented. I think I've always been a little low on Austin Mack just because I never really got the hype.
You get it now?
Get it now. Yeah, I get it now. I see why there is a large group of Alabama football supporters who view him as a potential future QB1 for this team. That's what I'll say about him.
I think that's fair. Yeah. And then Keelan Russell gets in his first collegiate action, 4 of 6, 65 yards, 63 yards, yeah, 65 yards, and 2 touchdowns. We already kind of highlighted the MJ Sherguin touchdown pass, walk-on touchdown. You got the Cole Adams touchdown. He also handed the ball off to A.K. Deer for his long touchdown run. So Keelan Russell leading 3 touchdown drives. And it's obvious, right? His talent is very, very obvious. The ball flies out of his hand, just so natural.
The mechanics are beautiful.
Yes, and to me, it looks like our boy Bryce Young.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking it in that fourth quarter. I wasn't sure if I was overreacting.
Just the skill set, the way he's moving in the offense, how comfortable he seems like he feels back there. Now you're gonna want a lot more time. You're gonna want a lot more experience. You're gonna want more time playing, calling plays, and reading protections. But on Saturday against a team that we've called inept multiple times, so we want to reiterate that, against an inferior opponent, Keelan Russell looked like everything you want to see. Just keeping his eyes downfield. I mean, the Cole Adams touchdown, he's about to scramble, pops his eyes back up one more time, says, oh, let me just, never mind, I'll on that scramble, I'll stay here and hit this pass down the sidelines. And then the Sherguin pass is just gorgeous because he's basically coming in on sort of an out route. And to give a walk-on a moment like that, yeah, to deliver him a football, catchable ball, like, I think you see the touch. You see a lot of accuracy with Keelan Russell. Maybe you don't see the arm strength that Austin Mack has, but I think that what you already see is the ability to know what kind of pass I'm throwing here, whether it's a bullet or a touch pass. He's got a really good touch with the football. That was a lot of fun on Saturday to see him play some football.
It absolutely was. He saw on his first snap, on his first drive. Now, I don't think it was a designed run where he, you know, scrambled around and then ended up sprinting to the sideline, ended up being a 1 yard gain. And I was like, oh, is he a little flustered? And no, that was the only time that he did not have full command of the game that he was in. Because I was, then you heard how loud that stadium got when everyone realized, oh, there he is out on the field.
Yeah, big old cheer as soon as he came out for the fourth quarter. So does Alabama have a quarterback controversy, Theo? Is that what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks until Alabama plays Georgia?
I mean, it seems like us being media, like, that's kind of our job, right?
It does. I don't want to do that, but it just, it, after all three of them played so well, I think everybody's back in their own camps. You know, Mason's going to come in here tomorrow and stump for Austin Mack. I guess I'll stay with Ty Simpson. Are you taking Keelan Russell?
Yeah, right. That's kind of what I have to. Now, I want to go back because when we were talking back in June, like, my take was I did not think Ty would be starting the whole season.
Mm.
I thought that this exact situation would happen. I thought that I predicted Ty would underwhelm a little at FSU. We'd win, and then we'd see everyone in these ULM and Wisconsin games, and that we'd go into Athens, lose the game, and Keelan would be named starter heading into Vanderbilt.
Woo! So we'll see.
That's the prediction I made on the show back in June. Now I'm curious. I still think that we will see Ty Simpson start every Alabama football game this season right now.
Well, we will find out. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll keep talking about Alabama's victory over ULM right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central.
Get ready, Tuscaloosa. New Era Wrestling presents the Crimson Clash. The hottest local wrestling show in town slams into 2 dimes on Thursday, September 11th. Witness the chaos as social media sensation Big Trouble Ben Bishop brings his larger-than-life swagger to the ring. The man is 6'12", he weighs 15% of a metric ton, and is bringing every bit to Tuscaloosa. Feel the heat when our new champion, Sleazy C, Caden Newton, defends the open title. And don't miss the brutal street fight between the modern-day Kings and the unstoppable force known as the Draw. It's the same weekend as Alabama hosting Wisconsin, so keep the Tuscaloosa energy high with the Crimson Clash. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the bell rings at 8 p.m. at Two Dimes on the Strip. Grab your tickets now on Eventbrite by searching New Era Wrestling and use promo code RADIO for 20% off. New Era Wrestling, where legends are made and the battles are epic.
And Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback, who is he's been fantastic.
He was not fantastic yesterday, Joe.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
He wasn't?
That it was one of the performances of all time out there for Tua.
Two or three interceptions. I know it was two.
I think it was two. Could be two interceptions. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones looked like the 2025 NFL MVP. He took a page out of Alabama's book, scoring on every single possession he had the ball. First time that's happened since at least 1990.
You know you got problems if as a football team if you're letting Daniel Jones look good.
But no Daniel Jones slant. I almost wore my Daniel Jones jersey in here.
You should have. I know he threw some passes to my new favorite tight end, Tyler Warren.
He had a great day in fantasy for me, Tyler Warren.
Yes, sir. Yeah, after I drafted Tyler Warren and I had Kittle, and I said, let me go ahead and move Kittle along. So I'm happy that has worked out so far through 1 week of action.
That did work out very well. And man, Tua, Bryce Young, not good in week one.
He's been fantastic. All right, maybe not. Let's keep going here on the show. You want to talk about Lazier Brooks, no T, Lazier Brooks, or do you want to talk about some of the elements of the defense, or do you want to talk about running backs, offensive line? We only got about 10 more minutes left. What direction do you want to take us in?
Well, I want to hit Brooks. I think it has to be said just how great he looked out there.
Four receptions, 53 yards. Jalen Waddle 2.0.
Is he going to be wide receiver 3 for the season?
High chance.
Like, I just...
You remember us freaking out about him through the summer.
Yeah, because we were saying, like, we don't know if he'll have the opportunities to get out there anymore, and I think he just put all those doubts to bed.
That guy's a stud.
He is. He is incredible. Just so athletic. The moves he was making in the open field. Don't think it's a stretch at all to say that we'll see him end the year with more yards, touchdowns than Isaiah Horton.
I mean, so far, you can definitely say that. Isaiah Horton coming away with, what, 2 receptions on the day? Horton, 3 catches. Three catches, 51 yards with the touchdown.
Like, he's not been a huge part of the offense. He was not in Tallahassee, and everyone was getting the ball yesterday, obviously, and he did contribute, but I don't know what kind of role he's going to settle into.
That's why Saturday was so hard to judge, yeah. And I think almost pointless, because you played against a defense that had almost no resistance, right. Almost none. Wisconsin, there'll be a little more resistance.
There will be.
And so that'll be an easier way to, like, see the direction this off. Like, everybody, you should be happy scoring on every drive. No punts on the night. Great job, quarterbacks. Great job, offensive line. Great job, execution for everybody. But I'm not really going to sit here and say the offense is fixed. I'm not really going to sit here and say the offense is, unstoppable. The offense is electric. The offense is whatever adjective you want to use, positive adjective that you want to use. I'm not ready to go there because that's how I think ULM is that bad. And I think the Florida State defense is good. So what you saw in the first week, you know, is a little bit of a brand new offensive, you know, a lot of new offensive parts going up on the road against a good defense. I think at the end of the year, we'll see that Florida State ends up as a pretty good little defense and a good team. But I'm just not ready to sit here 73-0. The offense is fixed. And I'm not really even ready to sit here and say X or Y or Z is the direction of the offense, because I thought that Saturday was just like a lot of experimentation against an inferior team. I felt like what Saturday was a lot of tape for Georgia to be confused by, not confused by, but to go through and analyze and try to make some guesses. You had how many receivers catching passes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different receivers caught passes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different runners got rushing plays. And so, like, how do you focus in and hone in on it? What I think what happened on Saturday was the coaching staff just dumped a lot of the kitchen sink out there to try to make Georgia just have to think about a lot of things, had to prepare a lot of things, add a lot of things to their preparation, to their notes over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I don't even know. Like, I do think Lazier. I'm gonna have to train myself on that. There's no T in the pronunciation. Lazier. I think he is gonna have a role in the offense. Is he going to have more receiving yards than Isaiah Horton? I don't know. What I think you're going to end up seeing happen is Jeremy's going to end up being the clear number one. Ryan will be the clear two, and you're going to have Isaiah Horton, Lazier, Brooks, and Rico Scott all in this mix for three. And you're going to, at the end of the year, be like, huh, those three numbers all look the same. So your 3, 4, 5 are all going to look very, very similar numbers.
I like that take. The one other guy that I think needs to be addressed is just, we got to say something about Mbakwe here, because not seeing him out on the field regularly until the fourth quarter.
He did it to himself, man.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want to go switch positions and move into a stacked position room, like, I do think that there is, I do think that there's a skill set there that you could use. But who are you taking off the field? Are you going to make him a running back and take one of these talented running backs off the field?
Not with the way Kevin Niley's playing.
Right. And so are you going to hit him on a speed sweep before you're hitting it with Lazia Brooks? No. Or with Ryan Williams? No. And so he's just got a lot of guys in front of him, and he did it to himself. And you know, would have been a lot of guys in front of him playing corner as well. I think Jalen's a good player, a talented player, but just in a situation where he's got to improve to rise up the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what he did with that run they gave him that was ultimately called back from a holding. Man, he just so athletic, so many great moves in the open field, and basically created a 20-yard run for himself out of nowhere. This guy's...
I think he's got a skill set you can use.
It's
got
to be a way to get him involved, I think, in the offense. And I think that's the thing. He's a guy who can create anything against any team. I think he's that great of an athlete.
All right, Theo, we got to start wrapping this bad boy up here. Let's look ahead just a little bit, because I won't have you the rest of the week. Let's look ahead. Alabama's playing Wisconsin at 11 a.m. on Saturday. You guys can see it on ABC. You can check out all the coverage on BamaCentral.com. The early line, I think it opened at 19 and change. It's now Alabama 20.5-point favorite. After wrecking ULM, how do you feel about Alabama hosting the Wisconsin Badgers?
I like that line a lot. I think if I was a betting man, I would absolutely be throwing it on the Alabama side. Alabama won 42-14 last year.
I think it was 42-13, 42-10.
Yeah, it was something along. I think we're in for a very similar result this year.
42-10.
I'm not particularly worried about this Wisconsin team at all. I don't think they inspire any real fear. To me, this Wisconsin team coming off a 5-7 season, I'd be moderately surprised if Alabama wins by less than 4 scores.
Wisconsin beating Miami of Ohio 17-0 and MTSU 42-10 in their first 2 weeks. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers the rest of the week. Theo, you coming to talk to the coaches? We got a little Ryan Grubb, a little Kane Womack, a little Kalen DeBoer press conference coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah, I cannot today. I have a meeting lined up, but I will be there on Wednesday.
For what?
Wednesday's the off day, isn't it?
Wednesday's the SEC coaches teleconference, yeah, and hey coach.
I always mix.
We have nothing. We have nothing on Wednesday in person.
Yeah, it's okay.
Monday in person with the coaches. Tuesday in person with the players. Wednesday virtual with the coaches teleconference and with hey coach. Thursday nothing. Friday nothing.
Yeah, Tuesday classes make it impossible for me to make it over there. So.
Well, you need to stop scheduling things on Wednesday or Monday mornings so you can come ask great questions to the assistant coaches, to the coordinator.
Next week, I will be there.
What should we ask? What do we get? To me, I'm asking Ryan, I'm asking Kane Womack how he thinks London Simmons played. Mm-hmm.
You know, the one other thing I'd want to hear about, and I think this guy deserves a shout-out, is QB Reese. I was very impressed by what I saw. You pick up a ball, and you knock one out. Like, he was very, very impressive from what I saw.
Where do you stand on Dre Kirk as far as he got the targeting call, but my man's was on social media at halftime. Did you see this?
I did not see this.
He just put a cell, I mean, on social media, unquote. He pulled his phone out and got on Instagram and just took a selfie of himself on his story. So it wasn't like that took, 8 seconds? But he whipped his phone out and put a selfie of himself on Instagram, and people were, not focused on the game. And then he goes out in the second half and, crack some skulls. Really, really bringing the wood. I think he ended up with Drake Kirkpatrick Jr., 4 total tackles, 1 solo tackle, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 forced fumble. The targeting call really setting the tone. But people are unhappy with his taking a selfie at halftime.
Yeah, Joe, I don't like that. I still will say that we should not have players posting to social media in the middle of an Alabama football game.
What if they go out and give you 4 tackles, force a fumble, and crack some goals?
It's the principle of it. Why do we need to post to social media in the middle of a game? I don't like that at all.
Sometimes you just got to look yourself in the phone. So get the selfie view. Make sure you're still looking good.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that are going to go and say TikTok dancing is what's ruined the season, but I'm not a fan of us. We don't need to be on social media mid-game. We don't need to be.
If you are on social, no. If you the caveat is, if you choose to go on social media during the game, you better show out and be second on the team in tackles and force a fumble and lay the wood to some people.
Fair enough.
So you got Drake Kirk on his phone right there. If I'm Coach DeBoer, I'm still treating this press conference like Alabama lost. Come back out, same energy from last week. Same. I don't think he was rough or mean last week. That's not it. But same, just same energy. Because I'll say this: when they had Walk of Champions, I know you're getting ready to go. When they had Walk of Champions, he did not have a smile on his face like he has in the past. Did you see Tim Keenan going up to him on the sidelines?
I like that clip a lot. And the laser focus in DeBoer's eyes.
Tim, exactly. You need to find that edge, coach. We will embrace that edge with you. And that's how this season can get back on track. So we're going to talk about the ULM game a little bit more tomorrow with Mason Woods. We'll talk about the Titans tomorrow. Oh, do you want 2 minutes to talk about the Giants, or you want to skip?
No, I want to skip on that. I the less time I spend thinking about the Giants, the happier I will be.
All right. I just wanted to give you the space if you needed it. No Giants suck this week because they sucked. We'll see if the Bears suck tonight right on football. They probably will. We will talk to you tomorrow right after we talk to the coaches today. You can find it on the Bama Central YouTube channel. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.